You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell just closing a news conference where he's making comments about President Trump's tweets over the past couple days. We'll let you know what he had to say a little bit this hour right here on 89.3 KPCC. Also, later in this hour, we're going to talk about Alzheimer's because now there's genetic testing that can, of course, tell you whether you have a gene which indicates an increased likelihood of your having Alzheimer's as you age. The question is, what do you do with that information? And is it in the patient's best interest to have that genetic information or not? That's later this hour, right here on 89.3. And we'll also talk about Big Willie Robinson, the man who brought together different factions in street gangs, who brought people together across color lines in Los Angeles in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s through drag racing on the streets, as well as his own racetrack in Terminal Island. We'll talk about the legacy of Big Willie Robinson coming up later this hour. But right now, we start with the LA Shake Alert app. This was designed to help give advance warning to Angelenos when a major quake might prove to be a threat to life or to property. But the shake alert didn't activate in the wake of the 7.1 and 6.4 magnitude earthquakes that occurred near Ridgecrest just over a week ago. So now the shake alert is being modified to provide alerts at lower level earthquakes. With us, Robert DeGroot, staff scientist and coordinator for the Shake Alert Earthquake Early Warning Project at the U.S. Geological Survey. Bob, good to have you with us again. We appreciate it. So I never expected, I signed up for the alert, I never expected I would get them for events like the Ridgecrest quake because there was no threat in metropolitan L.A. to property or to life. So why are you lowering the threshold for the alerts? It doesn't seem it was designed to alert to the Ridgecrest events.
So one thing that we've done is we've spoken with the City of Los Angeles, who actually manages the Shake Alert LA app, and also with Shake Alert Management, and also in Washington, D.C., to provide an opportunity not only to get a shake alert for potentially damaging shaking, which is what it was set out for both of the earthquakes but last week, but also for shaking that's potentially felt. So it's an opportunity for people to actually get the alerts and see what they're like and to potentially respond to them. So when you get the shake alert, we want people to take a protective action such as drop cover and hold on.
But that wasn't necessary in Metro LA for the Ridgecrest earthquake. And if you want knowledge about every, you know, quake of a given magnitude, sign up for the USGS alerts. I get those and it shows me every earthquake in the world of any size. Well, I don't understand why the shake alert needs to indicate for anything that's felt, even if there's no risk of damage or injury.
That's right. And that has been our position as well. And of course, we are very concerned and give our support to the folks in the Ridgecrest area who went through these events because it was very different for them than it was for the Los Angeles.
Yeah, if this was a Ridgecrest alert, you definitely want
that's
it going
right,
off.
That's right. But one thing that we're learning is that there is an interest in folks understanding how this works. The shake alert is a very important tool in the large toolbox of resources that we have to reduce earthquake risk, much like getting earthquake notifications. So we have to see what will happen. I mean, we really have to spend a lot of time talking about expectations. If we give people more information, then we need to be able to tell them what to expect.
Well, the problem is now by lowering the threshold, you're giving people the indication that they need to drop and cover in metropolitan LA for Ridgecrest-like events. But that's you know, for something like that, when you're that far from the epicenter, that's not necessary, is it?
It's a real issue. And I think that one thing that we have to take in consideration is that for that, the levels of shaking that were experienced for a good portion of Los Angeles County where Shake Alert LA alerts is that for the 6.4, for example, my director was in La Crescenta. He didn't feel anything. And so getting a shake alert would have told him to take an action such as drop cover and hold on. So the whole issue is that we want to balance this whole thing of how many times are you willing to take action before the real shaking of significance arrives at your location. So in other words, how many times are you willing to take action for little or no shaking for that one time or two times that heavy shaking may arrive? And so that's a real consideration. We have social scientists on our team who are really looking into this to figure out ways to balance that out. And so the initial the starting point that we used with the city of LA was a way to strike that balance.
With the lower threshold, has it been decided what that threshold is now going to be going forward for shake alert?
Yeah, so the city of Los Angeles, the USGS issues shake alerts at a given number all the time to everyone, and we rely on our partners, the 50 or so partners we have throughout the West Coast, to make some decisions about when and how to deliver those shake alerts. And the decision is based on a number of factors. For the city of LA's Shake Alert LA app, they were delivering at a potentially damaging shaking level, which is modified Mercalli intensity 4, and we're lowering it to modified Mercalli intensity 3, which is basically weak shaking. And in that particular case, as I said earlier, is that there may be instances where you do feel some shaking, some bouncing around. I was at a Ralph's Market in West Los Angeles near UCLA. I didn't know what was going on until 10 or 20 seconds into the event, and it was an earthquake. There may be cases where people will get a shake alert for no shaking that they feel. And so we have to manage those responses to those comments from folks.
Can you hazard a guess using the Mercalli scale 3 for actual ground shaking in metropolitan Los Angeles? Would the 6.4, the first of the two earthquakes, the major ones in Ridgecrest, would that have triggered a Mercalli 3? Do you expect?
Absolutely, yes. There would have been regions of Los Angeles County. I can't speak to downtown LA specifically for the 6.4, but definitely for the 7.1. There would have been regions within LA County that with the 6.4, there would have been MMI-3 shaking, yes.
We're talking with Robert DeGroote. He's staff scientist and coordinator for the Shake Alert Earthquake Early Warning Project at the U.S. Geological Survey, their Earthquake Science Center in Pasadena. I'd like to hear from you, your questions or your comments about Shake Alert and your input on what the threshold should be. To me, I thought it worked perfectly, and I'm a little disappointed that they're lowering the threshold to the Mercalli 3 degree of shaking, because that implies you got to duck and cover at that degree of shaking. But I'd like to hear from you. Would you like it for everything that you potentially feel to get an alert? 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. What do you feel like you need an alert for? What do you feel like you don't need an alert for? 866-893-5722 to let us know your thoughts about this. And the Shake Alert is designed for earthquakes that are at some distance, right, to give advance warning because of the difference in the speed of how the waves travel.
That's right. So even a fairly large earthquake really far away can generate those shaking intensities that would warrant the issuing of a shake alert. So things can happen. So we're not just talking about alerts going to people's cell phones or their iWatches or whatever, but it's also to automated systems like
elevators.
Trains. And so there are all of these actions that would be taken at a variety of thresholds depending on the application needed.
So the Mercalli 3, this weak shaking threshold, would not have to apply, say, to stopping trains.
The decision is made by the agency partner that we're working with. So LA Metro makes some decisions based on their infrastructure, based on their system, on what to do when a shake alert is basically received by their system, and they decide what to do.
Can they differentiate when it's received by their system between a Mercalli 3 and a Mercalli 5?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that we make available for delivery is basically an estimated shaking map, which tells them what the estimated shaking is in different locations. So they can use whatever software they've developed to make those decisions that humans are not necessarily involved in, those quick decisions, They can decide what to do based on where the shaking is the greatest.
And that
least.
All comes with the initial alert. That's not delayed.
That's right. That all is packaged, ready to go for delivery for all of our partners.
All right. David in Hollywood says, I want an alert for everything possible. I'm a contractor. I was working in a precarious position when the earthquake occurred. I would have removed myself if I had had seconds of advance notice. So, David, that's a very good example, someone who was going to be in a precarious position. We know, for example, that authorities in Pahrump, Nevada say the only fatality, and this was from the 6.4, not from the 7.1 earthquake, but the only credited fatality in either of those quakes was a man who was working under his truck when it was jacked up in Pahrump, Nevada, and authorities there believe the earthquake knocked the vehicle off the jack and that killed him when he was under it. Have you heard about any other?
That's the only one that I've heard of. Yeah,
so that's
sad.
Yeah, and he's there, you know, in Pahrump, quite a distance from from the earthquake, but in a vulnerable position.
Yes.
A very sad case. 866-893-KPECC. Chris in Hollywood says, I agree with Larry. The previous threshold was good. I only want an alert if something is going to cause damage, not just because I feel a little shaking. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Julian Sherman Oak says, I have two little ones. I need to grab them out of bed if there's an earthquake. My thing is, I don't want to wake them up if it's just a light quake. That's Julie in Sherman Oaks. Once again, we're at 866-893-KPECC. Yvonne says, I'm in Orange County. I don't know if we have any sort of alert for us, but it would be nice to have one. Bob, the shake alert, is that only designed for L.A. County?
The city of Los Angeles, when they developed Shake Alert L.A., made the conscious decision to only deliver shake alerts to people who are inside of Los Angeles County.
So L.A. City Initiative covers L.A. County.
Yes.
But it's really not going to tell – it's not going to be necessarily helpful for people in other counties.
That's right. And there are other products that are becoming available in the coming months that would potentially cover other parts of California.
All right. Let's see. We have other questions here. 866-893-KPECC. Number of listeners brought up the point they don't think it was well communicated what Shake Alert was designed to do, because it was described here you're going to get advance warning with larger earthquakes, but that the nuances of the threshold, the trigger, people weren't really clear on it. Do you have plans for ways of educating the public more on that?
Absolutely, yes. We're putting several initiatives into motion as we speak. As I mentioned earlier, we have a small army of social scientists who are working with us on the Shake Alert Project, which is fairly unusual for the USGS to do this kind of work. And they've really risen to the occasion. And we're looking at all aspects of education and training, including what to expect. And then also some of the scientific concepts related to this, I think, are critical as well. Telling the difference between magnitude and intensity, for example, of earthquakes.
Yeah, a lot
which
of
is
confusion.
One of the things that came up during several conversations since the earthquakes.
Yeah, a lot of confusion on that because just to go over that again, the magnitude of the earthquake, we're talking the amount of energy released where the earthquake occurs under the ground. That doesn't tell you how much ground shaking going to be, the depth of the earthquake, what the subsurface, the composition of the soil is, what mountains are between you and where the quake, all these things affect the shaking.
Absolutely. That's correct. Yes.
So, and people, when they see magnitude, they think, oh, 7.1, all 7.1 earthquakes are going to be felt the same. And that's not true, even if you were at the, you know, very same location, place, because the depth could be different in that 7.1 magnitude earthquake. Wendy in Highland Park says, I don't think the threshold for notification should be lower because then we're going to get alerts all the time. We're going to get blasé about it. And I'm sure that is a concern of the USGS.
That's right. And this is one of the pieces that we're looking at is this issue of over-alerting. So again, we've been trying to find that delicate balance between giving people the alerts that are going to be meaningful to help them reduce their risk to protect themselves, but also not to alert them so often that they'll begin to sort of forget about the phone and not even look at it.
Astrogoth says, well, some people may want alerts for slight quakes, others only for larger ones. Would there be a way users could select for that?
That's a very good question, and that's something that we're exploring with both Shake Alert LA and also a project that's coming out of UC Berkeley called MyShake, and looking at the ability for users to filter what they get that comes through the system. And that's definitely an option, and in basically giving people a choice about what information they want and when.
Sean at UCLA has a really good point he wants to raise. Sean, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Larry. So I was just concerned because if we get notifications at a place like a stadium or a concert, for example, where we're not even necessarily going to feel shaking or in danger, you know, it might cause some kind of mass panic or something, and it sort of doesn't necessarily need to happen. You know, I was at the Hollywood Bowl when the 7.1 happened, and basically nobody noticed. But if we got the notification, I could imagine some potential big problems happening.
Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, Hollywood Bowl officials. Do we interrupt the orchestra mid-performance? You know, that's a great point you raised, Sean.
Yes, and I think it is a good point. And we're working directly with folks who actually manage these large venues, the people who manage security and safety, to look at these considerations, because they are the ones who are in control of that facility and will have to make decisions about how to handle the crowd when the event comes through all of these different devices.
Bob, thank you for coming in and talking about it. I really appreciate it. And it's yet another example of how it really is impossible to please everybody. And you're trying to serve multiple masters here. It's not necessarily
easy.
That's
right. But we're listening very carefully to what everybody's saying, and I think that's important. We hear everyone.
All right. Robert DeGroot, thank you for being with us.
Thank you again, Larry.
Staff scientist, coordinator for the Shake Alert Earthquake Early Warning Project at the U.S. Geological Survey's Earthquake Science Center in Pasadena. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We have so much more genetic information available to us through companies that take a swab and come back with what genetic precursors we might have to certain illnesses. But when it comes to Alzheimer's, would you rather know if you have a genetic predisposition with higher risk or not? Because it would probably affect your perception of things like, you know, losing your car keys or forgetting something. Is it better or not to know whether you've got a genetic predisposition? We'll talk about that in 1 minute.